So if you have a Bible, I'd like to read in 2 Kings tonight in chapter 5. That's near the start of the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we'll read at verse number 1. Second Kings chapter 5 and verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He had leprosy. He was dying. He wasn't going to get better. He was finished. That's what it means when it says he was a leper. Second reading now in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. This is a parable that the Lord Jesus told. Luke chapter 12. And we'll read at verse number 16. Luke's Gospel chapter 12, verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought, or he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good left for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. One final reading back in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And we're going to read at verse number 3. See it, chapter 53 and verse number 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, that is the punishment of our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now I trust that God will use his word for his own glory tonight. I'm sure that you've all heard that there are two sides of the same story. That's just a saying in this world. You know, when it comes to the Bible, that is true. But as we open up this book that we have just read from tonight, that there are two sides. That's the amazing part of this book. Because the Bible traces the long, dark, tragic course of man's sin. Nothing is covered. Nothing is hidden. God exposes man's course for what it really is. And of course, this chart that we have put up before you says it very graphically that man's course is down. We are living in a sinking world. And as we trace that course and as we see the evidence of man's sin, We see only darkness. We see only tragedy. We see only sorrow and groaning. And God reveals that long, dark, tragic course of man's sin. But you know, from Genesis to Revelation, God traces that wondrous crimson line of His provision, of what God has done about our needs. And from the very start, the opening chapters of our Bible, right to the very last, we find that God has been dealing with man on the basis of grace through His Son. The precious blood has been shed, and God's arms are outstretched. The welcome sign is out. The door is open. And God makes us aware that there is salvation. There is a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin, there is a door that's open, that all may go in. And that Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. And so tonight, what God wants us to understand is He wants us to understand who we are. Really. And He wants us to understand who He is in all of His fullness. He wants us to face what we have done honestly. And He wants us to come to discover what He has done. Calvary. You see, friend, it's only when we discover what we have done that the work of the Lord Jesus will ever have any value. We could tell you about Calvary, and we could tell you about the shed blood, and we could tell you about the open door, and we could describe heaven to you tonight, and oh, we'd love to be able to do it better than we do. But I want to say it would only be words to you until a person comes to discover their lostness and their guilt and their sin and the direction that they're going. And when a man discovers what they are and what they've done and what sin will bring, it's not long for a sinner to look away to Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be somebody here tonight that would discover that? Because what we have read tonight deals with some very, very simple contrasts. Two contrasts that are separated by a little word, but. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have read of a man with all of his accomplishments. And we'd be honored to be able to stand alongside of him if he was living in our day. A man who had medals all up and down his lapel. A man who was filled with stripes on his suits, on his military uniform. But as we continue on in reading concerning this man called Naaman, we come to finally God's assessment of who He really was. And five little words changed everything. We have read in Luke chapter 12 about the plans of a man. And for the early part of those plans, they were wise. They were intelligent. The man had a problem. He sat down, he faced the problem, and he started on a solution. But as we continue on to see where that man's plans led, it led to forgetfulness about God. And the Bible says, but God said. And we understand God's solemn pronouncement to those man's plans. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. I wonder before this meeting, what would happen if God said that to somebody in this meeting tonight? You know, that's something that the preacher doesn't know. I don't know if we'll ever see this audience again. I don't know if you'll be back tomorrow night. Because it could well be that God will say, young man, this night, that's it. It's all over. You come to the end. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And if it were true tonight of some in this meeting, I shudder to think of where you lift up your eyes in eternity. Because some of you are not saved. Man's plans, oh, they were far-reaching. Oh, they were stretched tauntingly into the horizon. Oh, he thought he had it all together. But a simple pronouncement from God, and everything changed. We have read in Isaiah chapter 53 about man's scoffing and his rejection about the Savior from heaven. But we have read of Christ's sacrifice and redemption that he's provided. And our prayer has been that there might be those that would enter into the blessing of God's salvation tonight. When I think of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, I can't help but think of General Schwarzkopf of the U.S. Armed Forces. That tremendously dignified general who in the Gulf War distinguished himself. He had trained for years. And in that short period of time, he distinguished himself as a truly great general. Because you see, Naaman was that kind of a man. He was a man who was respected by all. As he passed, people would salute him. He had rank. He had honor. He had been a successful soldier. He had risen up through the ranks. He had worked hard. And not only, friend, was he a very distinguished general, but by his very name, which means pleasant, you'd come to gather that this man was a real gentleman. Be an honor to have him as a friend. Be an honor just to stand beside him. He was a man that people looked up to. And tonight in this city, there are a lot of people, and perhaps even in this meeting tonight, there are individuals that have worked hard, that have distinguished themselves, that have worked for what they have accomplished. And man's accomplishments tonight are pretty profound. But as we read on, we find that these little five words that we have read, words, ruin the whole picture. After it said all that he had accomplished and all that he was, it says, but he was a leper. You know, whether you're aware of it or not, regardless of, friend, what you accomplish in this life, God wants you to face the fact that there is a fatal flaw within your very soul. You have a problem. You might go to UBC and get a PhD. You might go down to the stock market and become the richest man in Vancouver. You might rise to the top of the education or the recreation or whatever field you pursue. But after all is said and done, man is faced with the fact that we have a problem that ruins it all. That's the problem that's found in those five little words, but he was a leper. Do you know what leprosy is? Leprosy is not only a disease that brings death, but the awfulness of leprosy, and perhaps you've seen pictures of individuals that had leprosy, and you remember that maybe fingers were gone, or ears were gone, or noses were gone. It's a horrendous disease that eats away at the flesh, but the real problem with leprosy is the fact that it's insensitivity to pain. If you've got leprosy, you can't feel pain. It's just not there. I have read of people that have leprosy, and they'll go to a wash basin with boiling water, and they'll wash their face, and they'll burn their eyes out, and they'll go blind. Because they don't feel pain. I've read of individuals with leprosy, and their ankles are broken, and they go running across the courtyard, on broken ankles. They don't feel any pain. And they damage themselves. They ruin themselves. And before long, that terrible disease, working its havoc, eats away disease sets in, and ultimately death is the result. You see, friend, as we think of the awful disease of the leprosy of sin, it's eating away at all of our souls and all of our lives. And yet, sad to say, people do not understand, they don't feel the awful consequences of their sin. That's why if you're in this meeting and you're not saved, it's a proof to you that leprosy. You don't understand, you don't comprehend what sin is doing to your soul, to your life, to your future. I said to my brother after God saved me, I said, Dave, I didn't realize the darkness was so intense until I came to the light. I didn't understand what sin had already done in my life. Because you see, friend, sin pays tremendous dividends, terrible consequences. And as we look at this world, and perhaps, friend, you're here tonight and you know what sin has done to you, there are people in this city and they can't live with themselves because of their guilt. Can't face themselves. Can't face their past. There are people in this city and they can't face the future because of fear, because of their sin. How do you feel as you look at the future? What do you think of as you think of meeting God? What comes across your course as you come to understand the fact Jesus could come tonight? I want to say it gripped me when God began to deal with me and I was in fear. There are people in this city and they have no hope. You know that the number two killer among teenagers is suicide? Can you imagine? Because teenagers today look down the road and they see no reason to keep on going. And as we look at homes in Vancouver, we see homes that are broken and marred because of sin. We see people chasing empty bubbles that burst in their hands. We see people walking into relationships that really don't satisfy. And yet people keep on going because they don't understand and they don't feel the tremendous consequences of sin, of leprosy. And sometimes you can see it in the very faces of people, the hopeless sadness of what sin has brought. Here's Naaman. And you know, if we were to look at Naaman from the outside, you say, boy, he's got it made. Boy, if I could only be in Naaman's place, what? He's got it made. But within that individual was raging that tremendous disease that was beginning to claim his very life. My friend, as you might look at the lives of others, and you might say, boy, if I could only be like him, understand, friend, that there's sin at the core. And as you face your condition, and that's really what 2 Kings brings before us, our problem, our condition, our sin, we need to understand that even despite all of our accomplishments, when God's assessment is given, God says, we must face the fact. That's why the Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall die. And every single individual in their sins is one day down this road, one day closer to eternity than they were yesterday. One day closer to everlasting night. One day closer, friend, to a place where there's no return, where there's no second chance, where there's no gospel, where there's no Savior. That's why God has brought you to this meeting, that you might face squarely the fact of the leprosy of what sin is doing. But we read in Luke chapter 12 about a man with his plans. God had blessed this man. God had given this man a bumper crop, and as a wise farmer, he sat down and he says, now, what am I going to do with this crop? You know, we're living in a world in which we've got more blessings than we know what to do with. I know we complain and we grumble and, we're never satisfied, are we? But here's a man, God's been good to him. God's been good to us. I wonder, have you ever thanked God for the blessings he's given you? Tell me, did you give God thanks for the food tonight? But let me go a little deeper. Have you ever bowed the knee and thanked God for sending his son? Well, here's a man, and God had been good to him. And he says, what am I going to do? And he finally came to a conclusion. He says, I'm going to pull down those barns. I'll put up bigger ones. Put all my goods in there. And he says, and then I will say to my soul, soul, take a look over there. You've got it all made. It's all secure. You got it all wrapped up. You got it all sewn together. It's, you're in the driver's seat. And you know, you can take an early retirement. You can do whatever you want. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because it's all there. Isn't that the language of the world? Do what you can, and then live, enjoy life. Don't think about the future because, you know, you've got a long, long time yet. And man, this man in Luke chapter 12, he made his plans. And he made some long-reaching plans. But he never included God in them. And I'm speaking to an audience, and some of you haven't included God in your plans. God's on the outside. You're walking along the road of life, and you're in the driver's seat, aren't you? And you don't want God to be in your plans, and you don't want God to be in your future because you think it's misery. But this man tragically forgot to look up. This man forgot that his very breath was in the hand of God. This man forgot that all blessings come from above. And after man had made his plans and had closed the barn door and curled up before the fire and pushed his chair back and had a final cup of tea and went to bed, God stepped in. And whether you want to acknowledge it or not, friends, God is going to step in all of our lives. You know that God always has the last word? The Bible opens with those simple words, in the beginning, God. And friend, we can tell you tonight that when it comes to the end of time, there will be a God to meet. Here's a man, he lived without God. He planned without God. He retired without God. And there came a moment when God says, this is it, tonight, this night. Thy soul shall be required of thee. As I've already said, as I look into this audience, I see young people. You know, you don't have to be 65 or 85 to die. God could say, young man, it's tonight. Young woman, it could be tonight that you come to the end of the road. Every time I drive down the Trinity Bay Highway, I have to pass a house, and I can't help but think of a man that used to live there. The gospel tent had come to that place, come to that shore, and as young men, we would go out to the various homes to invite them in. And this man was just building his house. He was well along. He says, listen, boys, he says, I've seen the tent. I know it's there, and respect what you're doing, and he says, I will come, but you see, he says, I'm building this house, and he says, I'm trying to get into it, and he says, as soon as I get into it, I'll come out to your meetings. What would you say to a person like that? I mean, most people either tell you that they're not interested, or they say, yeah, I'll come. But this man was honest. He seemed sincere. He was busy. And so sure enough, doors were hung. Carpet went down. Drapes went up. Moving day came. And you know, as that man was brought that mattress into that bedroom and he was setting all up, all of a sudden, the man gave a moan. He fell across that mattress. He's gone. Just like that. Every time I go past that house, I remember his words. As soon as I move in, I'll come to your tent meetings. You know what? That man never even slept in his new house at night. And he never got to the gospel meeting. Because God said to him, this, that day, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. What if God said that to you tonight? You see, friend, God is giving us so much time. One of these days, it's all going to be over, and God will just close his hand on our little breath. He'll give us one more breath. He says, that's it. And ready or not, we'll go to meet him. Solemn thing if it came tonight. That's why I'm glad I'm ready. That's why I'm so thankful my time is gone for Isaiah 53. Oh, what a dark, dark response there was to the Savior. What's it say? It says he was despised, rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to be rejected. From the very start, in his hometown of Nazareth, in his very home, some of his own relatives wouldn't receive him. He'd walk down the streets of Nazareth and he'd hear in the pubs men singing about him. He was a song of drunkards. He went into the 3 years of ministry and service on behalf of man's welfare and man's salvation. And after all that he did, people cried out for his blood. Away with him! He was despised. He still is. He was rejected of men. Still is. I'm so thankful for that, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that should have come my way was placed on him. And with his stripes we are healed, Isaiah could write. And tonight, friend, the very core of the gospel, the very substance of this message that you're hearing tonight is not just about man's terrible response and your response to the Savior so far, but it's the wonderful message of his love and of his provision and of his suffering and of his willingness to step in my place and accept my punishment for me. 23 years ago, I came to discover through this book that he loved me and he gave himself for me. And I said, if he did that for me, then I'll be willing to receive him. I couldn't resist such love. Despite all that I was, despite all that I had done, despite my hatred of him, he still loved me and actually died for me at the cross. Tell me, friend, what are you going to do with such love? What are you going to do personally with the Christ of Calvary? He's offering you his gift of salvation tonight. But it all depends, friend, what your response to him tonight is. That will make the difference for time and eternity.